We're now going to have our Bible reading, and it comes from a part of the Bible called Exodus, Exodus chapter 11 and 12. Now, if you don't have a Bible, if you raise your hand, a steward would love to bring you a Bible, which will help you to follow our reading this morning. So if you'd like a Bible, just raise your hand and someone will very, very quickly bring you one. That's great. Please don't be shy. It will help you to follow our reading. And as you turn to Exodus 11, which you'll find on page 68 in the Bible, let me explain that as a church, our habit is to work our way through books of the Bible. And this morning, this is where we've got. So over the last couple of months, we've been looking at this part of the Bible called Exodus. And today we've got to Exodus 11 and 12. The beauty of that is that I, as a preacher, don't choose the subject matter. It means that actually God's word, the Bible, chooses the subject matter. And we're now going to read part of Exodus 11 and Exodus 12. We're not going to read it all. I'll tell you the verses to look at as I read it. So please follow as we start at Exodus 11 and verse 1, and then we'll jump to different verses. So Exodus 11, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that, he will let you go from here. And when he does, he will drive you out completely. Then drop down to verse 4. So Moses said, this is what the Lord says. About midnight, I will go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die, from the firstborn son of Pharaoh who sits on the throne to the firstborn son of the slave girl who is at her handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle as well. There will be loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there has ever been or ever will be again. Then go to chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you to eat it: with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals. And I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Then go down to verse 21. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. Not one of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshipped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was a loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead. During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "Up, leave my people, you and the Israelites, go worship the Lord as you have requested." This is God's word. Now, it would help if you've got a Bible in front of you to open it again at Exodus 11 and 12, which you'll find on page 68 in the church Bibles. And as I mentioned earlier, our habit as a church is simply to work our way through books of the Bible, which means that when a preacher like me stands up to speak, it's not me who's chosen the subject matter, but it's what the Bible says. Now, let me tell you something very honest about that. It meant that as I have read this passage that I just read to you, and as I've thought about it this week, there is something about it that has made me think, well, do I really want to preach that on a baptismal service? Because I'm aware that the subject matter that this part of the Bible raises isn't very popular. It's not the sort of subject that we'll see regular programs about on the telly. It's not really a feel-good subject. But as I was thinking that, I remembered something my dad told me. When my dad was about 19, he was in the services. He was a soldier in the army. And he was a soldier in Germany just after the Second World War. And his regiment was right near the border with Russia. And there was a moment in that period, in the late 1940s, early 1950s, when it was thought that Russia was going to attack the British forces. And my dad's regiment was the nearest regiment to the border. They were the first line of defense against any Russian attack. And my dad's told me how, well, he was a Christian, you see. He'd only been a Christian a few years. He'd become a Christian as a teenager. He wasn't from a Christian home. But as he was prepared for battle, because that was what was happening, he thought, I may never see my mum and dad again. And so he wrote them a letter. And he wrote them a letter out of love, because he wanted them to believe in Jesus, because a decisive day is coming. Now, as we read that ancient story about Exodus and a lamb being killed and a Passover and all that, you may think, what's all that about? Well, what was called Passover Day was a decisive day. It was a decisive day for the people of Egypt, and it was a decisive day for the people of Israel. And it is a decisive day that points us today to a decisive day still to come. What is that day? Well, it's this day. It's a day of judgment. Now, as I said, that's not a popular subject. But the Bible says that a day of judgment is coming. And the day that we read about in Exodus, because it's only one day we've read about, that day was a day of judgment. Now, what happened then? Well, you may not know the story, but the people of Egypt, they had had lots of opportunity to do what God said they should do. Over and over again, through a man called Moses, God had said to the people of Egypt, this is what you're to do. You're to let my people go. And you need to realize that being an Israelite in Egypt at that time was a bit like being a Jew in Nazi Germany. There were concentration-type labor camps. Male Jewish boys were being killed. And God kept on saying, let my people go. 9 plagues had come, but still Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, was refusing to do what God said. He was treating God as an irrelevance. He continued to worship his own gods. And God said, right, the moment's come. Now judgment is going to fall on Egypt. And at midnight, every firstborn in every home in Egypt will die, and I will kill them. A day of judgment. A day, the Bible says, which would bring great wailing that had never been before to the people of Egypt. And not only was it a day of judgment, but it was also a day of distinction. You see, that night when midnight came, In the Egyptian homes, we read that there was great wailing because it happened as God said it would happen. Every firstborn son, every firstborn animal died. But it was different in the Israelite homes, because when an Israelite mum and dad went to look at their son's bedroom, he was still there breathing. He was still alive. And the question we must ask is, well, what made the difference? Why did judgment fall on the Egyptian homes? Why did judgment not fall on the Israelite homes? Why did the judgment pass over those homes? And the passage we read gives one answer to that. Judgment did not fall on the Egyptian homes because the people of Israel were trusting God's promise about the blood of the Passover lamb. Did you pick up what we were told about this lamb? Each Israelite family was told that they were to take a lamb. It was to be a year old. It was to be male. It was to be without defect. They would keep it for 4 days. And then on a particular day at twilight, they were to kill the lamb. They would slaughter it. And then they were to take the blood of that lamb. And just imagine this was the door of an Israelite home. And they were to put the blood all around the door frame of the house. And then they were to eat the lamb. They were to have roast lamb for dinner. And then they were to stay in their house. And they were to wait there until midnight. And the promise of God was that the blood on the door frame, it was a sign. It was a sign for them, and it was a sign for God that when judgment fell on Egypt, the judgment would pass over that house, and the firstborn son in that house would live. Now you may say, that's an odd thing for God to tell them to do, isn't it? It is. But God did that because he was showing them and showing us a really important principle that undergirds everything that Christians believe and actually is what is being put on display through the baptisms this morning. It's the principle of substitution. You see, what was happening was this. The lamb was killed, its blood was shed, so that the firstborn boy in the house where the blood was would live, so that his blood would not be shed. So just imagine for a moment, and I tried to imagine this week, imagine that we could go and we could listen into a conversation between an Israelite dad and his firstborn son. So just imagine that night, all right? They'd had their roast dinner, the blood was on the door frames, and the conversation might go like this, little boy to dad, dad, I heard Moses say that the firstborn son in every house in Egypt is going to be killed tonight. That's right, son. Dad, does that mean that I'm going to die? No, son. you won't die. Are you sure I won't die, Dad? Yes, son, I'm absolutely sure you won't die. Dad, how can you be so sure that I won't die? Son, look at the door. You can be sure because of the blood. You can be sure because the Lord has promised that if the blood of the lamb we killed is put on the doorframe of our house, that when he comes to kill the firstborn son, he will pass over our house and you will live. Are you sure the Lord will see the blood, Dad? Oh, yes, son. Look how much I put on the door. I don't want him to miss it. I'm sure he won't. Son, go to bed. Sleep in peace. You are safe because the Passover lamb has died in your place. Now, I've spent time on that because that is the key to understanding what God wants us to know this morning. Whether we like to hear it or not, a day of judgment, the Bible says, is coming. It's a day of judgment in which we will all be involved. It's a day of judgment when God will rightly and totally fairly assess our lives. And the Bible says that actually we all have reason to fear for that day of judgment, because just like the people of Egypt, we have treated God as trivial. We have refused to listen to what God says, and God has made it very clear what he wants us to do. He's given us his word. And we've ignored God. We've substituted other things for God in our lives. We've set our own priorities in our lives. And the Bible says that as a result, we deserve that judgment should fall on us. But the Bible says that on that day of judgment, there will be a distinction made. There will be two groups of people on that day of judgment, just as there were on the day of Passover. There will be those upon whom the judgment of God falls, and there will be those that judgment passes over. And upon what basis will the judgment pass over anyone? It will be on the basis of the blood of the Passover lamb and the fact that that group are trusting in the blood of the Passover lamb. Oh, hang on a minute, you may say. Johnny, does that mean that we've each got to go out and find a year-old male lamb without defect, and we've got to kill it, and we've got to put blood on our doors? No. What happened in Exodus is a preview of what was going to happen to Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ came into the world, John the Baptist, the man who baptized him, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And he said, and John the Baptist understood, you see, that the reason Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into the world was to die on the cross. Jesus wasn't like us. He became a human being like us, but he was unique because where we've all failed, he succeeded. He treated God as God throughout his whole life. He was perfect. He was without defect. And that qualified him to die as our Passover lamb. What happened as Jesus died on the cross? The Bible tells me that as Jesus died on the cross, he died as my substitute. That as Jesus died on the cross, the right wrath, that is the right anger of God that I deserve because of treating God trivially, because of disobeying God's commands, the anger that I deserve, as Jesus died on the cross, it fell on him. His blood was shed for me. And why did he do that? He did that so that on that day of judgment, which is coming, the judgment will pass over me. I will be on the safe side rather than on the in massive danger side. And upon what basis do I come in this safe side? On what basis will I be on the right side of the divide? Not because of anything good about me. I'm a sinner. As the Bible says, we all are. But the Bible says that if we will abandon any attempt to try and make ourselves acceptable to God, and if we will trust only in what Jesus Christ did as he died on that cross, that we can be as confident as a young Israelite boy could be. We can, as it were, lie down and sleep in peace about that day, because we know the blood of the Passover lamb was shed for us, and that when that day of judgment comes, it will pass over us, and we will be safe, and we will live with God forever and forever. You see, that's very simply what our six friends who are getting baptized are going to be telling us as they go into the baptismal pool. I'm not being rude about them, but they're certainly not telling us that they're good enough for God. They're actually saying they're like the rest of us, they're sinners. As they go under the water is a picture of God's judgment. And they're saying, I'm a sinner who deserves to be under God's judgment. But they're also saying, I believe that on the cross, Jesus went under that judgment instead of me. And he then came back to life. He rose from the dead, and he's given me new life. He's given me a relationship with God that will start, that starts now and will go on forever and forever. So friends, I'm not trying to scare you, but I do want to be honest with you. My dad wrote to his mum and dad when he was a 19-year-old because he loved them. And because he knew the reality of the cross of Jesus and why Jesus died on the cross, he wanted his mum and dad more than anything else in the world to be ready for the day of judgment by trusting in the blood of the Passover lamb. And so I tell you this morning because it's what God wants you to know. Because God loves you. God wants you to be on the right side of the divide on that day that is coming. And what will happen to you on that day all depends on what you do with the blood of Jesus Christ. Will you trust it? That's what our six friends who are being baptized are telling they have done and are doing even today.